Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin. Rob, have you ever done anything that's been perfect in your life?
Have I ever been perfect in my life?
I mean, I know you often tell me you are, but have you really ever done something in the sporting world where you can say that it was perfect?
No. Me either. I can't. No.
But our guest today can say that.
Katie Sutherland Finch. G'day. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
So, just to put this in perspective, Katie's come over from America to play softball, A-grade softball, in South Australia for Port Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And she only arrived less than 2 weeks ago, and she's already played two games. And on Saturday against Seacombe, Port Adelaide won 9-0, and you were the pitcher, and it was a six-inning game. You faced 18 batters, and what did you do to those 18 batters?
I struck all 18 out.
Sean, that's
unbelievable. You must be very popular now with the batters in South Australia.
No, I don't think so. But it was a crazy game. It was just, a lot of adrenaline going on in that game. And it was a fight all the way through. Because even though I had a lot of strikeouts, the batters got in there. And you could tell they were determined and doing their best every at bat.
Have you done that before? I mean, I'm not a big follower of softball, and I do understand the game, the basics, but is this something that would happen a lot? Is this something that you've done before? Was it something you were thinking about towards the end of the game?
This is, in softball and baseball, this is very uncommon. It's something that happens once in a blue moon, and for a pitcher to have 1, 2, 3 perfect games in their career is, amazing and something that they can say, well, I've thrown a perfect game. Of course, then people go, well, where were you, and when did that happen? But I've never thrown a perfect game. I've come close in high school, but and those were all up until the seventh inning, and then it was a drop ball or an error, blue pit. So this is the first time I had one.
Now, a perfect game, obviously, is every batter's out for the whole game, but in following baseball and softball for 45, 50 years, I have never seen an A-grade softball or baseball game where every batter on the losing team struck out. Have you?
I haven't. I can't think of any. I actually was talking to my American friends, and we can't think of a time or a place that we've heard of it as well. It was just a lot of adrenaline towards the end of the game. I knew that no one had reached base, but I hadn't really thought about the strikeouts. And that's what you can't really think about the strikeouts, because as soon as you start trying to strike someone out, that's when you leave a ball flat and get a hit. So more than anything, I was trying to stay calm and keep my adrenaline level and down enough that I could take deep breaths and not overpitch, because overpitching is killer in a game. And I owe a lot of that to my catcher, Georgia Murphy. She did a fantastic job, not only calling pitches, but also just communicating and making sure that I was relaxed.
Well, in the first game, you beat Sturt 4-0. Mm-hmm. The Magpies won 4-0, and you pitched that game. It went five innings.
Yeah.
And if my memory serves me correctly, you faced 17 batters, and you struck out 13, and one player, an Australian player, got two hits, and there were two ground outs. So did that give you an inkling of how well you were going to go in this week?
No. I would say I had a lot of adrenaline coming off. I'd only been in the country for a day and a half, so I had a lot of adrenaline. So it's hard to decide how a game's going to go based off of that type of getting the country, you're excited to play, you're meeting your teammates, you go out there, and I feel like I was hyper-focused that game to make sure I didn't go out there and suck.
So you're in little old Adelaide now, but how did you get here? So what was the journey to get, and how did you end up coming to Adelaide?
Well, I can blame that all on Stephanie Trzynski, one of the pitchers for West Torrens. She and I played college ball together at the University of California, Berkeley. And we played 4 years together, know each other really well. And she had tried to get me to play our first year out of college, which would have been this last year. We both graduated in 2017. And I retired. I was done with softball. It was my turn to coach, because in America, we end our career after mostly girls end their career after college. And it's my turn to help other girls go and get the opportunities that I did. And after about 7 months of working in the real world and holding a steady job, I started coaching, and I missed playing, and my arm was healed. So gave staff a call, and she connected me to people in Holland. And then after I had that organized, I texted her and said, okay, if I'm going to play for 6 months, might as well play for a year. What about Australia? And she, I think she knew Butch, and was able to put me in contact with them. And then,
that Butch seems like,
yes, our head coach, he's amazing. And they were able to get everything organized, and here I am.
Fabulous. And so whereabouts in, when you went to, because again, we have a different system here, as you said, like, it's unusual. And I've had a son who went to college in America for basketball, but we have this ongoing sporting process here. Yeah. We have a lot of clubs, etc. Whereas I know in America, the college system is a really strong sporting, yeah, and there doesn't seem to be the same local or community club stuff after. Yeah. So, tell us about college, and for people who maybe here in Australia don't understand the college system, how that works.
Yeah. So in America, growing up, you know, we look at our softball or our sports career for most of us, especially women athletes, as through college. And our big goal is to have college paid for, since college is so expensive in the United States, and sports can be an avenue to get that taken care of and, or get at least part of your tuition paid for. So I started playing when I was 9. I worked through our competitive ball, which we play travel softball, so it's different. I was on a team that was from the Pacific Northwest. They're called the Northwest Bullets, for my 18 gold years. And we had girls from, I think, 3 different states. And then we would travel as a group down to Southern California to play. So it's not about representing your state. It's about getting as many good players on your team and then trying to find ways to get college coaches to come and watch. So after I was recruited from that team and playing in a tournament in Southern California, and then from there, I went to Berkeley and I played 4 years. And then after that, we do have a pro fast pitch league in the United States, but it's for a very, very top percentage of the best softball players in the country. So I'm not sure how many girls are drafted every year, but it's very difficult to get selected. So you end up having a lot of girls who are very good at their sport, but they weren't in that very top group. So they just end up coaching, or they're like, okay, well, I'm done, so it's time for me to give back, which is huge. We try to really promote that in softball. It's about giving back to the next generation. So for me, I'd been hurt in college. I said, okay, my turn to coach. And then it's amazing for us to then be able to think, oh, I could go play overseas. And that's such a huge concept for us, because that's not something we do. We stay so within our country when we play, because everything's about getting to college. And it's not really about after that, unless you're on the national team, which is a whole different thing. Yeah.
What about the Netherlands? What was it like playing softball in the Netherlands?
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my time in Holland. I played for Neptunus, which I played for their girls team, their Silver League team. And then our boys team actually won the European Cup this year, which was cool. I got to watch that, which was awesome. And it was so crazy to think about, I mean, maybe in just American arrogance, we didn't realize that people from Holland or Europeans played softball. Growing up, that's not something we knew. Australians did. We knew Japanese people and Chinese, but not, I guess, that part of Western Europe. So going over there and being able to have all these cultural differences, I mean, we speak different languages, but being able to really come together and talk about a sport and having that in common was so cool. And they were great. They were so hospitable and really just made me feel at home. And I tried so many different kinds of food. And from there, I was able to travel to different parts of Europe. And it was a great time. It's something that I feel really fortunate, because it all comes down to that softball has provided me that opportunity. And how many other outlets are there in the world that can say, hey, yeah, you can throw a ball, how about you go throw it over there instead of in America? That's crazy.
And what about in Australia? How have you found your time in Australia so far? Is it what you expected?
It's funny. It is. It is what I expected. It's not as hot as I thought it was going to be, but I've heard just wait. but I really like Australia. I actually called my parents and said it's been so easy to acclimate because it reminds me so much of the States. Other than driving on the other side of the road, it's...
No, we drive on the correct side.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. We get it right. No, we get it left.
but speaking English, I mean, it's the thing that I've had to...
It's a slightly different English.
Slightly different, and it's the slang.
Yeah.
The slang.
You'll pick that up.
Yeah, well, it was our first couple of days. Like, you guys called, we call them coolers, you guys call them Eskies.
That's right.
And they were saying something, and I turned and looked, and our system coach buddy goes, "It's a cooler." I was like, oh, okay. So I'm sure I'll have plenty of those moments, but I've had a great time. My host family has been incredible. They've, you know, we've been joking that it's like they had a third child and didn't realize they sent them to America. And, well, actually, during that game on Saturday, my host sister had an asthma attack and had fainted behind the dugout. And so we had this whole other thing going on during the game, and I was sitting there checking on her and trying not to pay too much attention to her, but also being really worried about her. And so, yeah, it was
a really big day.
It was a big day.
Now, you mentioned, did you say that you hurt yourself in college?
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, I'm from a track and field background, and I imagine if I make similar javelin and might be similar in terms of the, because you're really putting a lot of pressure through shoulder, elbow, etc.
Yeah.
There's a lot
and
of force being
sometimes.
Generated. So what sort of, I mean, in terms of your preparation, your training as a pitcher, what sort of things do you need to do?
As a pitcher, you have to have overall body strength, but you also need a really acute sense of your body motion and being able to use your core, because a lot of girls don't understand that they're taught as pitchers we use our arms, and it's the complete opposite. As a woman, you use your legs. All your power comes from your legs, and it comes from being able to use power but also be explosive, and then using your core to bring that all together at the end. So for me, I would say for my arm, it was not being too hard on it. I spent a lot of time muscling up and trying to throw hard with my arm. And women, we aren't built with as strong upper bodies as men. And so we have to use our legs because that is where our strength is. And you can use it really effectively, but you have to train differently to do that. So I lifted. I did a lot of Olympic lifting in high school with a trainer. And he was amazing. And he trained me on how to not only be powerful, but then to also be explosive. So my dad and I tried to replicate my pitching workouts to not only be mechanically based, but also be almost like a sprinter workout, because my start is my stride is a sprinter, the first step for a sprinter. And that's how I've always thought about my pitching, is I have to be quick out and then have the fastest arm I can. So learning to be loose in the arm and telling a girl to be loose and throw quickly, but don't try and throw hard, seems so backwards, especially to a young girl. So it's tricking your body and
stabilizing the other, your front. You're a right-hand pitcher.
Yeah, so right-hand
like stabilizing that left side. It's interesting as you talk, because as a throws coach here, it's exactly the same. You're trying to teach people. I know you're actually holding on to this thing with your hand, but it's your whole body, especially like your core and your hips and your legs and glutes, that make all the difference.
Yeah, and that's it's also teaching girls and helping them understand where their power is truly coming from. I've worked with groups of little girls, all actually now in Holland, America, and here. Then I said, okay, where's your power come from? And they all go, your arms. I'm like, no, our legs. And so it's just changing the way I've seen a lot of girls that have been taught mechanically how it looks like it should be done versus the reality of how it's actually being done. So you get a lot of girls who, when they throw curveballs, throw across their body instead of spinning the ball. So it's the idea of what the pitch is versus the reality of the mechanics of it. So sometimes it's just breaking down. Pitching's not this big, scary, mysterious thing. It's scientific, and it's the mechanics of it are, we have normal mechanics or kind of baseline mechanics, and then everyone has their own different spin off of it. But here's the way to do it to minimize risk. And my injuries were always overuse because I didn't know how to not switch.
Now, while we've talked about pitching and your effort there, now, I was watching your bat on Saturday, and the first time up, it looked like you were going for the fences and you got caught at left field. And then the second time, the same thing. But your fourth and last time up, you put one over the fence. How did that feel?
That felt really great. I wasn't expecting to do that. I've been trying to tell myself to slow down in the box. I always end up getting a little in front of myself, and really trying to pick the right pitch, since I am, this has only been 5 months for me back into pitching, so, or back into hitting, so trying to slow myself down in the box.
It must have worked.
Well, that's all we got time for tonight. So this is the Carl and Lowe Sports Show. We've had Katie Sutherland Finch as our special guest, and we hope to have you on again. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And Sean.
Thank you very much. It was great chat.